भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 3, entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. We're going to start off with text number 2 and then go on to number, through to number 10, which is written on the board. Text number 2.
Sate pe mandaradro nyam tapa paramadarunam. Urdhva bahur navodrishti padangushta shitan vanihi.
Translation. In the valley of Mandara Hill, Hiranyakashipu began performing his austerities by standing with his toes on the ground, keeping his arms upward and looking toward the sky. This position was extremely difficult, but he accepted it as a means to attain perfection.
Text 3. Jatāridhidhibhīreje saṅvartarka ivaṅśubhi tasminstapastapyamāne devastānāni vejire.
Translation. From the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head there emanated an effulgent light, as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austere penances, the demigods who had been wandering throughout the planets now returned to their respective homes.
Text 4. Tasya murdna samudhuta sadumognistapo mayam tirya gurudvam adholokan pratapad visvagiritaha.
Translation. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head, and this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot.
Text number 5. Chukshubhudna dyudanvanta sadvipadrischachalabhu nepitu sagrahastara jijvaluscharishodasha.
Translation. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe, with its mountains and islands, began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All directions were ablaze.
Text number 6. Tena tapta divam taktva brahmalokam yayu sura tatre vigya payamasur deva deva jagatpate daityendra tapasa tapta divistanum nashakshnu maha.
Translation. Scorched and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the Creator as follows. O Lord of the demigods, O Master of the universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head as a result of his severe austerities, we have become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets, but have come to you.
Text 7. Tasya chopa shamam bhuman videhi yadimanyase lokanaya vinnankshanti baliharas tavabhibhu.
Translation. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything, before all your obedient subjects are annihilated.
Text 8. Tasyayam kila sankalpas charato dushkaram tapa shuyatam kim na viritas tavatapi niveditam.
Translation. Hiranyakashipu has undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions.
Text 9 and 10. Please repeat. Shistva
characharam idam tapo yoga samadina adyaste sarva disnevya parameshti nijashanam shishta characharam idam tapo yoga samadina adhyaste sarva disnebhya parameshti nijashanam. Please chant. Sistva chara charam idham tapo yoga samadhina adhyaste sarva disnebhya parameshti nijashanam shrishta chara charam idham tapo yoga samadhina adhyaste sarva dhisnebhya parameshti nijashanam. Ladies. Tapo yoga samadhina adhyaste sarva dhisnebhya parameshti nijashanam. Ladies. Shtacharacharam idham tapo yoga samadhina parameshti nijashanam. Text number 10. Tad aham bardhamanena tapo yoga samadhina kalatmanas chanudvatvat sadya yushyeta tatmanah. Sarvadishnebhyaha, then all the planets, including the heavenly planets, Parameshti, Lord Brahma, Nija Asanam, his own throne, Tat, therefore, Aham, I, Vardamanena, by dint of increasing, Tapa, austerity, yoga, mystic powers, samadhina, and trance, kala, of time, atmano, and of all the soul, I'm sorry, and of the soul, cha, and, nityatvat, from the eternality, sadaishe shall achieve tata so much atmanaha for my personal self. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power, and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power, and trance for many, many births. And thus, I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Purport.
Hiranyakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. But this was impossible because Brahma has a long duration of life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Sahasra Yuga Parajantam Ahuryad Brahmano Vidu. 1,000 yugas equals one day of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently, it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy that post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the self, Atma, and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy that post in one lifetime, he would continue to execute the austerities life after life, so that sometime he would be able to do so. Translation again, the Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his post, exalted post, by dint of severe austerities, mystic power, and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power, and trance for many, many births, and thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste. Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vachacadasatarine. Karoti Vajaram Pangulangaya Tege Yatkid Vatavan Bande Sigur Nithainam Paramananda Madhavam Si Chaitanya Swaro Hayom Tat Sat. So Hiranyakashipu, by dint of his intense sacrifices, wanted to hold the post of Lord Brahma as supreme in the universe. He also wanted to achieve immortality. The freedom from the death. All these things he desired. Therefore, he was doing extreme penance. And his penance was so great that it was heating up the whole universe. Even the devas, they were suffering a lot by the intense heat produced from the head of Hiranyakashipu. So this verse also teaches us that we are eternal, but we have to die at the end of our lives there. And again, we are reborn. So we don't, Atma never dies. The body dies, but the Atma lives on. So, Krishna, he never forgets. He always stays the same eternally. But we are jivas, so we are subject to a dying, reborn, rebirth, and each birth we generally forget what happened in the birth before. So, you see how much power Hiranyakashipu could exercise simply by doing these severe austerities. He was a demon, so he wanted to use his powers to lord it over others, whereas the devotee, he simply wants to serve the Lord. So in the service of the Lord, he can also exhibit unlimited potencies by the mercy of Lord Krishna. But he doesn't want to lord it over. Rather, he wants to serve the Lord. So today is also the day of Silas Thakur. Silas is also a jiva, but he is a pure devotee of the Lord. In the Panchatattva you have the Supreme Lord, his expansion, his incarnation, his internal potency, and the jiva shakti. So Silas was jiva, but he came as a pure devotee of the Lord. So Krishna says that he doesn't really have anything to do. What he does is he takes care of his devotees. And the devotees of the Lord are dearmost to Lord Krishna. Now, Siddhas' character is that he was very simple-hearted, and as it is said, Atmane Manyate Jagat. As you think the whole universe thinks. So he was very honest, simple-hearted, So he thought everyone would be like that, but it's not the fact. There are all kinds of cheaters and rascals in the universe. So some are rascals. They saw boat unloading soldiers, but they didn't know that it was the routine replacement of soldiers. So they said, just see, because of Siddhartha's nocturnal kirtans in his garden, now the Nawab is sending soldiers. He's gonna harass and torture all the Hindus, all because of Siddhartha. So Siddhartha thought, because he's a very honest person, these people must be telling the truth. Oh no, I don't want to cause trouble to anyone. But he was honest. But these people were just speculating. So he went into his room, his private meditation room, and there he began to meditate and chant Narasimha prayers for the protection of all the devotees of the Lord. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya, he knew that Siddhartha had all these fears and apprehensions, which were based on speculation of some envious people. So he knocked on the door. He said, "The president for whom you are doing austerities, he is here." Well, Siddhartha was doing austerities for the Supreme Lord, because he was a pure devotee. So any danger, he would take shelter of the Lord. So when Lord Chaitanya, he knocked on the door. So Siddhartha, he opened the door. And Lord Chaitanya had assumed a form of forearms, and he was exhibiting a form of Lord Narayana in the spiritual world. So he said, "You have nothing to worry about. As long as I am here, no one can interrupt the Sankirtan movement." So, like this, Siddhartha, he was protected always by the Lord. Sometimes, Siddhartha, he was his son Gopal died, and Nasi, the mother, and some relatives are crying, "Oh, my son died." And he went inside the room. He said, "Don't disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. If his son is dead, you cannot do anything about him. So don't make all this noise, otherwise I will also die. And then you'll cry for a son and a husband." So Mani, she got frightened. Meanwhile, Sridhar's joined the kirtan. Now, after some time, Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan and he asked, "Why did you, what was that a noise in your house? Why did you go inside?" And Sridhar said, "Well, my son died." "Your son died? Why didn't you tell us? It's not a big thing. Your son died? Why didn't you tell us?" "Oh, I didn't want to disturb your kirtan." "Sridhar, you're too much." So bring out the son. So now the mother, she was crying, "Oh, my son died." And there was a commotion about. So Lord Chaitanya said, "Gopal, Gopal, stand up." And the dead son, Jiva came back in the body and he stood up. He said, "Why have you gone? Why have you left your mother and father?" And Gopal, that time he said, "Every birth I have mother and father. Which mother and father do you refer to?" "Oh, Sridhar and Anani." "Oh, they are very good." So he was talking from the platform of a liberated soul. "And why have you gone? Why do you ask me, Lord? On your will, we come, we go. So, your will, I go, I left. And I was back in the spiritual world. You brought me back." Like that. So there was some exchange. And mother and father could realize that, excuse me, that the son Gopal was liberated and he had gone to the spiritual world. So, and Lord Chaitanya asked the mother, "Anything else you want to know?" She said, "No." She got peaceful because she realized her son had achieved perfection. So then Lord Chaitanya said, "Okay, lie down, goodbye." He lay down, he's gone. So then Lord Chaitanya took their body to the side of the Ganges and did the final rites. Then they all took bath in the Ganges and came back. Like this, there's so many pastimes in Sridhar's Angan, in the garden of Sridhar's. Because when Lord Chaitanya was chanting outside, at first there were a lot of critics and disturbance. So he was invited by Sridhar to chant in his garden. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya didn't feel ecstasy and he asked, "Who is responsible? Why do not I feel any ecstasy?" He looked around. Everybody thought, "What did I do?" Because they're naturally humble devotees. The non-devotee, or neophyte, not near. But now they thought, what did I do wrong? And so Silas, he went to his house and looked inside. No one was there. So then they went back and they started chanting again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. But again, Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. I'm not feeling ecstasy. Why? Who is responsible? So, this time, Silas went to check out. He lived in the house again. It's outside. There's a big basket outside. What is that? He looked under the basket. It was his wife's mother, his mother-in-law. He grabbed her by the neck and pushed her out. You're causing a disturbance. Normally, the mother-in-law is a very respectable person, and a son-in-law doesn't treat her bad. But in this case, Silas grabbed her by the neck and shut her out. Lord Chaitanya asked, who was that lady? I don't know. Wasn't that your mother-in-law? I don't know. Why don't you know your mother-in-law? Anyone who disturbs your kirtan, I don't know. So, Silas, he was such a devotee. He had only one priority. That was the satisfaction of Lord Chaitanya. We have a great opportunity that we can see that all the pastimes are all but many of the pastimes of the Lord. And we can be in his extended pastimes, studying the holy name, assisting Srila Prabhupada, distributing books, which Lord Chaitanya taught that we should follow Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, bhajo Krishna, do the worship and devotional service, Karo Krishna Shikha. And we should read the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this was Lord Chaitanya's order. So many devotees are disturbing these books. And that's carrying out the order of Lord Chaitanya. Also, some devotees are doing this Harinam. That's also Lord Chaitanya's order. And some devotees are doing the temple worship, and everybody does devotional service. So that's Lord Chaitanya's instruction. So, Siddhas Thakur, he would regularly do all these things. And for some time, Lord Chaitanya did kirtan in his house. Later, he brought the kirtan to the street and did it publicly. We know how when he was doing kirtan in the house, that time Chandra Gopal, he rubbed goat blood all over the door and put a bamboo plate with a goat's head and intestines and other goodies, nectars of the worship of Kali. So Siddhartha opened up the store, saw this bloody mess. He called all the Brahmins over to see I was up all night doing Kali Puja. Who did this? Because I really know he was a pure Vaishnava. He had nothing to do. And that Chandra Gopal, he got leprosy. So after some years, Lord Chaitanya, he happened to be nearby the Ganges where Gopal was staying. It was the custom then that the lepers would live off a city somewhere on the riverside. So he fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. He said, "Please forgive me. You're a petit pulan. You're all merciful. Please forgive me." But Lord Chaitanya, he exhibited a different mood. He said, "You offended my devotee. Therefore, I cannot forgive you. You have to be forgiven by Siddhas for the offense you did. Otherwise, you'll burn in hell." So, a few devotees, they approached Siddhas. He should forgive Chandra Gopal so that he can give the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Siddhas said, "Me? Forgive Chandra Gopal? I'm not a devotee. No one can offend me. I'm lower than lost. I'm lost fallen." And etc., etc., etc. Listen, you may not think you're a devotee, but Lord Chaitanya thinks that you are a devotee. Therefore, if you want, Chandra Gopal to suffer, on your account? I don't want anyone to suffer on my account. Then you have to go and forgive him. Because Lord Chaitanya thinks you are a devotee. So, Shilas went, brought by those devotees. He went to the riverside and saw Chalalal. And Chalalal fell down at his feet and said, "Please forgive me. I was very foolish. I did not understand your position." So, Shilas, not wanting to cause him any problem, he said, "May you be forgiven if there's any offense that you did." As soon as he said that, Lord Chaitanya appeared, and he embraced Chalalal, who was cured of his leprosy, and he was accepted in the Sankirtan movement. Haribo! 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 Nitai Goranga, Nitai Goranga. Nitai Goranga Jaya, Nitai Goranga. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Adaita Gadadhara Sila Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shilas was such a simple-hearted, pure devotee that he was also offended by Adivananda Pandit, who had him thrown out of his Bhagavatam class because he was in ecstasy to hear the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So where Devananda got forgiven is called Kuliya Pak, and it became known as Avarad Bhanjan Kuliyal Pak, a place where one gets forgiven for offenses. So on the particular other year, when you go to Kuliyal Pak, Holadeep, we bow down and we pray that we can be forgiven for all our offenses, known or unknown, whatever he did to any Vaishnava, and we also forgive all Vaishnavas for any offense they did to us, known or unknown. So, there's a lot of things that we do on Prakrama, which have had some secret meaning. And these have come from Siddhas Thakur. So today I'm told this is a disappearance. He was Narada Muni who assumed this pastime role. You can see how the major players are eternal associates of the Lord. To think that we are eternal associates is also a kind of avarat called sajjism. If you can even get so-called, or this is a Hollywood, L.A., a bit part of being a Sankirtan where there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of devotees, or being one of the shopkeepers in Navadvip, who would run out and give Lord Chaitanya a garland or a dhoti or something. Any sila, it's a great opportunity to actually see the Lord face to face and do some personal service. Now in Vrindavan, there are so many god boys, so many goldies. In Dwarka, there are 16,108 queens. The son of those are queens. Excuse me. Are Adidas who are recruited in the pastimes of the Lord. Others are like Rukmini, where she's eternally the chief queen. No one can take her position. She's an extension of Radharani. So there are some of these chief queens, like Satyamama and others. So their position, they are like the Ashtasakis, the Ashta queens. So they have a special position. And one learns from them how to serve the Lord in that position. So, like that, Siddhas, he was going to different places to invite the lords, and he was going, and he was sent to invite Lord Balaram to come as Nityananda. And then Balaram said, "Hey, wait, you have to also go." He was that time in Narada Muni. He said, "You have to also come." So he came first as Silas. He came first. He was before Lord Chaitanya. And he stayed after. And then he went back to his original position. So, somehow when these devotees are in the pastime, they are under the control of Yoga Maya. And at that time they don't remember that they're Brahma or Narada Muni or so. They just within that pastime and they have that particular role. So in this way, the pastime is unique and spontaneous. So this is how Krishna, in his different avatars, he passes his time, pastime, lilas. And there's some uniqueness and some similarities in the pastimes. So any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. I just had a question about Hiranyakashipu. He was aspiring for the post of Lord Brahma, but it said that I suppose I'm just trying to understand exactly what was his disqualification for that post. I mean, I've heard that there's, you know, souls who aspire for the position of Brahma that aren't necessarily devotees, and they're in that position. So I was just curious, what's the difference between Hiranyakashipu seeking that position through many different lifetimes and somebody who's already achieved that position, who's not a devotee?
I heard some things that you said. Well, what was the exact question?
I suppose what would be necessarily wrong with a soul aspiring for the post of Lord Brahma? I mean, because Lord Brahma himself was a soul who aspired to that post at one point. I mean, is that correct?
You see, to get the role of Brahma, one does it as a service to Krishna. As a service, it's okay. It's still material, but it's okay. But you had asked what was Hiranyakashipu's motive. He thought Brahma was eternal. He wanted to be eternal. And he wanted to be the chief in the universe, so he could lord over all the devas, everybody. His position was a bit different. For Lord Brahma, he does his service as a service to Krishna, and he's a devotee. If there's no qualified Brahma, and the Lord extends himself to be a Brahma in that universe. Brahma is especially for a devotee of the Lord, a very pious soul. Hiranyakashipu was a demon. You can see if he had the position of Brahma, he would create all havoc in the universe. Even as it was, he created havoc. Now, there was someone, he thought, I want to have Brahma consciousness. I want to see the same thing that Brahma sees. But Brahma told him, you don't have the same body that I do. So, I don't know what will happen if I give you my consciousness. He said, I don't care, just give it to me, I want to see. All right. Tatastaha. Pow! And brain blew up. He died immediately. But he was brutal conscious. It you know, Ramayas and our universe, foreheads, and some other universes, 10 heads, 100 heads. He knows everything going on in the whole universe. So our puny human brain can't hold all that information. It Brahma has 4 heads. And each head can hold a lot of information. So there's nothing you can say that the one that feels Brahma is a kind of is a material desire, but one is a devotee in one step, and then he does that as a service to the Lord. So if he has the requisite pious results, he can achieve such a position. But Rani Kashyapu, his mother was not good. So that was what's wrong.
Thank you, Maharaj. Nice class. You were describing the beautiful pastimes of Srivas, and the focus was about also some offenses. And in practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes we have difficulty with these interactions with devotees. So it is said that among all the offenses, the offenses that we might commit, the offenses to devotees is the most dangerous. So I was just wondering, about 27 years ago, 26 years ago, I was in charge of the ashram and a bhakta leader also at some time, and Sankirtan leader. And I had some recall of certain devotees that unfortunately, due to my immaturity, not being mature and expert in dealings, a few times, unfortunately, some people left the community. I could have done it more expertly. And my regret is that I wasn't able to go to them and apologize. So my question is that sometimes it is said that Krishna doesn't forgive, like Lord Chaitanya didn't forgive to Gopala Chapala unless he went to Srinivas personally. But in this particular case, although these persons, we can say they were not pure devotees in that level, still the karma is there. I'm thinking like that. So how do we atone for that? Just keep chanting like that? And Lord Chaitanya, my question is, just keep chanting and remembering, because I might not see them. Some of them, they might not even come to the temple. They might just went away and they might be struggling and suffering. And people might look at me and think, oh, you're doing very good, you're like good devotee, you're chanting and you're every day here. But still, something was done there that I have to be accountable. What will be my attitude in regards to Krishna? Seems I'm not going to be able to see them because they might even be even painful, suffering.
Well, that attitude itself is a very pure thought. Haridas Thakur was asked which chanting was more powerful. And the mental chanting or the loud chanting? So he said loud chanting is 100 times more powerful because you're helping others by loud chanting, plants, animals, humans, to the Krishna conscious. Therefore, you get forgiven for your offense to the other Jesus. So, taking that instruction, if you're able to bring other devotees to Krishna, you'll get forgiven for the devotees that you think maybe you somehow contributed to their leaving. How much you were responsible or not, it's a question, but that you are feeling Krishna sent these souls and I was not able to keep them. That's a very laudable attitude. And so now if you can bring others to Krishna, he'll forgive you for those who left. And who knows? After you meet someone, you can say something to try to bring them closer to Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. I just wanted to, in the verses here that were read this morning, it's very interesting that, I guess it's the demigods that are approaching Krishna here in the verses that we read this morning. And it's interesting to note that they were approaching the Lord. They were approaching Brahma. Yeah, for some kind of action, because they were in anxiety in terms of Hiranyakashipu's power. My question is, as a devotee, we hear and we learn that Krishna, he knows everything, he sees all our activities, and he knows what we want, he's at the super soul within the heart. But still, a devotee is in anxiety and in distress, even in terms of one's life or his devotional service. So should a devotee approach Sri Sri Gornitai or Sri Sri Rukmini Drokadish, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, and pray that the Lord relieve the stress or anxiety that a devotee is experiencing? Or if devotee has an enemy, should a devotee approach the Supreme Lord and ask to remove this enemy so that they can execute their service? So basically that's what I'm just thinking in those terms. Is that appropriate, or to what extent should we approach the Lord for help in order to continue with our Krishna consciousness?
Let's see this pastime from an objective point. First, these devas, they are devotees, but they are called Sakam devotees. They have some material desires. And we're trying to be a Nishkam devotee, free of material desires. But that may not be true, but we're trying. So if we pray the Lord for something material, we like to qualify it. If it shall please you, that means that if it's somehow the Lord's plan that we suffer or that these things happen, we don't want to interfere. We're willing to take whatever the Lord's desire on our heads. But if it's the Lord's desire, I mean, if he's a neutral in this case, or then we would like, say the guru is sick, or the guru could get healthy, or say some obstacle in our Sankirtan town. Somehow either we get stronger, or the obstacle leaves, or obstacle becomes a devotee. I heard in New York there was one shop, and the doorkeeper, he was a big guy, and he got ripped the book to students, he doesn't have, throw on the ground. He dumped the student books in my area. So he went across his block, storefront. And, along came Christians, and the book distributor was giving out Christmas cookies. And he saw from the side, just on the next shop in front, and he noticed the guy was looking. So he walked over, just had a couple of cookies. Here, Merry Christmas. And went off. When I look. You can't tell me more of those? Sure, take them. And you know how this Vashana sometimes does miracles. It changes stuff. This time you go up. And he tells the old lead guy, by the looks, we are good people. I guess so. Jai Lal was shot. So, what Krishna's plan is, we may pray, oh, Krishna ruled this time. But that wasn't his plan. He ruled his demonic nature. How? Give them to shot. So, sometimes the Lord has another plan. So anything in material we like to qualify, if it shall please you. For pure spiritual things, you want to increase your service, you want to make more devotees, you want to distribute more books. Okay, those things we don't have to qualify. But if we want something that's a little material, then we qualify it. Because we want to practice Nishkam Bhakti. Now these devas, they are Sakam. So, they're somewhat different position. Also, in this case, there was Lord Brahma. They didn't approach Vishnu. They normally they go to Brahma. Brahma can approach Vishnu at the side of the Kiradaksai ocean. And there Vishnu is in Svaita Deep in the center of the Mag ocean. And no one can approach him easily. So if Rama goes and meditates on the side of the Mag ocean. So sometimes a devotee, I saw some mother, her son was diagnosed as having cancer. So she went to the Lord and she's praying, if it so please you, my son can survive. Now the doctor went and he was going to do a biopsy to see if the cancer was malignant, a tumor was malignant or benign. And then he said, it's amazing. Look at here. Here's the picture of the tumor. I opened them up, there's no tumor. It's gone. I heard of, I'm going to go to the London Physician Council and says, why this picture shows a tumor, no tumor. So sometimes Krishna does some miracles. Prabhupada asks us all to bless Ghanashyam. That time was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He was known as Ghanashyam. So he said, bless him. He learned his two books in the iron, behind the iron curtain. And he said, Prabhupada, you're there. Who are you to give blessings? He said, no. Krishna also listened to you. If you say, please bless him, Krishna can do it. And because this is a very difficult assignment to distill books behind the iron curtain in the libraries, therefore I want to get as many blessings as possible. So we all offered our, whatever they're worth, our blessings to Ghanashyam. So, like that, there's some things which seems to be okay to offer blessings or pray to the Lord. Also, although the Lord knows of him, still by revealing our mind, that's one form of surrendering to Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna. That we, if we try to cheat Krishna, he'll know it. Like they say, as they're saying, don't drink water underwater on a fast day. You know what that means? I say it's some near Jalakasya. And you go down to the Ganges and take a bath. When you're underwater, you drink some water. You come up. Very austere. But Krishna knows you drink water, underwater on the last day. So you can't cheat Krishna. But if you go and reveal your mind that this, I'm having this difficulties or whatever you want to reveal. I have these desires, but I know I should not. I should just desire to serve your Lord's feet. Please help me to get rid of these desires. Like, the case of Kardamuni. He was like 10,000 years tapasya to marry a good wife. Sometimes we think it's an easy thing to get a good husband, a good wife. But he was maintaining 10,000 years. And he admitted to the Lord that I want to be a grihastha and experience what is the grihastha life, and then I want to take sannyas. So the Lord agreed to be his son. He came as Kardama Muni, Kapila Muni. So, but as soon as he had him as his son, he took sannyas. So his mother, Devahuti, got all the opportunity to see his child's pastimes, and then she also asked him for instruction. So, sometimes, we surrender to the Lord, and we ask him for his blessings, and we reveal our life. Although he knows everything, still, just by revealing and expressing our desires to serve him, to surrender, that's the way to please him. So, some Michelle here. Who makes this?